Good morning, friends. Welcome to the Question Bar with Alina Z and Hope Katz Gibbs. That's me, founder of Incandescent, and we are collaborators on the Empower Together project, which brings women around the world together to pine for the future we wish to see. We promote, we inspire, we network, and we educate. And on the Question Bar, eventually we're going to start taking everyone's questions, but we're starting this series off, this is episode 5, with just a conversation, girlfriends, talking about what's going on in the world. So today we are recording on Friday, May 23rd, and we're going to start dropping these onto social media and all of the Incandescent platforms every Tuesday at 2 p.m. That is our plan. So on Tuesday this week, you'll be able to watch episode 2. We just wanted to take a minute before we pushed it out there, as we're Alina and I agree that we're all having these challenges given the current administration and what's going on with women and wellness and DEI and all things that we hold dear because we love people deeply and desperately. And it feels like the love around the world is being tamped down. So today's episode is all about love. So Alina, welcome, welcome to our show. Tell me what's going on in your life.
Oh my gosh. Well, love is the theme. I got engaged. So yay. Thank you.
Congratulations.
So it's exciting. Thank you. And I'm one of those fortunate people. But I work with so many people who don't have the love in their lives and who feel really lonely, who feel taken advantage of. And, in the past, it was a struggle where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I don't want to share my happiness because I didn't want other people to feel jealous. And right now I'm actually in that space where, you know what? I worked so hard on myself and I worked so hard to co-create the life that I want, because ultimately, you know, it's God that creates us. And so our lives are co-created together. And I felt like sharing this, sharing my experiences and what I've been through can inspire other people, because if I can do it, so can they. And I remember just, you know, years ago, a few years ago before I met my fiancé, was, you know, I was so desperate. And so like, I want to meet somebody. Where is he? Okay, I'm relaxed now. I'm relaxing. Is he here? Where is he? You know, and it comes like, okay, I'm relaxed now. How about now? You know, and it took time to set boundaries for myself and set a life where I didn't need him to come in. I was just happy. And if he would come in, it would be a cherry on top, but it wasn't like completion. And for me, it wasn't in the movie, you complete me. I didn't need anybody to complete me. And I feel a lot of people are looking for relationships, for love, for joy from other people to complete them. And it can never last, because if it's not yours to begin with, like, you can't hold on to it, you know? And that's why people keep drinking, keep eating, keep stuffing, keep getting into a codependent relationships, all of those things, because they are not focused on themselves. And, you know, I have a client who right now she's single and she is out traveling. She's out traveling, doing her thing and enjoying her life, and I'm sure the right person will come into her because she's enjoying her life. So I'm really excited to see how that transpires. So yeah, what do you like? I feel like, you know, what you said, and the first thing I wanted to say is just like, we're all having such challenging times with everything that's happening. And I feel that if you and I keep watching the news and being empathetic people and wanting other people to succeed, and we want other people to be happy, it's so freaking hard. Like, every time you open the news, even if you don't go on the news, if you go open Facebook or Instagram, it's like somebody's in trouble, and it's like, how do we help them, you know? Yeah. And I've been asking myself the same question, how can I help? And what I want to say, if anything, like one takeaway from this for me, for anybody else, you cannot pour from an empty cup. You cannot rescue anybody. You cannot save anybody. You cannot inspire anybody when you don't rescue yourself, when you don't inspire yourself, when you don't take care of yourself, because then you're running on empty. And then the person who you're trying to rescue will take all of your energy and all of your juice, and they will waste it because it wasn't theirs. So it wasn't a match for them. And they keep looking for more. And then you will just be on the side of the road dying from your own exhaustion, so to speak. And that's not helping anybody, because you just enabled this person to continue sucking the juice out of other people. And I feel it's our responsibility to set boundaries. And what I do with my, you know, I was listening to myself yesterday. I'm like, what do I want? What will make me feel good? How can I love myself right now? Does this feel in alignment with me? Or is there, as all women, we all know that, like, eek. You know that feeling. It's like something just doesn't feel right. And for me, that is the number one thing, is to listen to that ick and take care of yourself first and make sure that you're in full alignment. And so you're sharing from a full cup. And I know people say it a lot. And it's like, well, how do you actually do it? That's the question. And that's listening to that and letting that guide you, because I have no idea what the listeners are fulfilled with. But they do. They know inside with their own intuition what fills them up and what drains them. We all feel the contraction in our gut and our heart. We just, that just feels like somebody punched you and you kind of go like this. Or you're like, oh, that feels so good. That feels so juicy. That feels so relaxed. And every single decision I feel for myself through that, I feel it in my body. Does a decision feel good? Does a decision feel contracted? And then act accordingly.
Yeah. I'm a student of Martha Beck's life coaching program. Mm. I did training during the pandemic, and she refers to it as shekels on or shekels off, right? Mm. So you know when something feels right, your whole body leans into it or it doesn't. And I've been training with her, reading her books for 20 years. She's amazing. And all along, I have followed that. So when I got separated when I was 50, 10 years ago, more than now, my body wouldn't let me do anything but go toward the compass that it was pulling me toward. And even now, you know, I've let go of big contracts because it just didn't feel right. I knew it wasn't the right thing to do, even though, of course, I wanted the money, because then that gives me freedom, or additional freedom to do what I want. So I feel like we have no choice but to go toward the thing that does make us feel good. And I think that, for me at least, is what's so painful about what's happening now. Every day I read stories where I'm like, that is just so wrong. You know, whatever that choice is so wrong in my landscape of what makes sense in the world, you know, compassion, love, joy. And I do feel powerless for sure. And, you know, there have been days since January where I've just been able to do nothing except kind of, you know, crawl up under the covers and watch The Discovery of Witches. I think I've watched that series, yeah, like 10 times now, because it gives me comfort, because it's about romance and love and taking care of people and doing the right thing and acceptance of different species, you know, whether you're a vampire or a witch or a, what is the other one?
Werewolf?
No, a demon.
Yeah.
Because I don't know too much about demons, so I have to research that. But, you know, and just following the good stuff. Like I told you before, we just published a book. Let's see if I can grab this without knocking everything over. By Dr. Peter Noonan, called The Secret Sauce of What Made Makes Falls Church City Public Schools So Special. And it's 45 essays by educators about, you know, what they do there that makes it special so that everyone feels loved and supported. And Dr. Peter Noonan is the example of that. So it's really so much fun for Incandescent to publish these books. You know, they're beautiful. Our art director, my ex-husband, Michael Gibbs, designs them. They're just, you know, they're solid and they mean something. And that's important to me. So that gives me joy, doing this for Peter and for other people, because public education, you know, where is this country without education? And yeah, also on the scheme of love, my son, Dylan, whoopsie, is graduating from Harvard this week.
Amazing.
He's at the Graduate School of Design, and he has a master's now in architecture. And it's really, you know, it's just full of joy seeing what he's going to do. His master's thesis was on data centers, and our daughter went and supported him. It was like the most spectacular presentation, his master's thesis, apparently, according to the professors. It was like 50 feet, and they're usually like 5 feet. So, and he just really built a city of data centers and talking about how to make them beautiful and socially responsible.
That was so important.
Isn't that so interesting? And just, I love that this, he just turned 26 last week also. And so that at that age, he has the compassion and the capacity. So that gives me hope, right? Even though what's happening at Harvard is so distasteful to me, you know, it's just awful that they no longer can accept foreign students, and they're losing billions in research funding and blah.
Yeah. You know, I keep looking at this stuff as like it's a fight between light and dark. And light always wins, but we have to keep standing our ground. And I heard this once, and I totally, totally agree that even if nobody notices what you do, even if nobody knows what you do, your energy still affects the whole. And I know so many times people say, well, I just woke up and I felt blank and I felt blah, 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 you know. Or when Carl Jung, he was analyzing how we're all part of one, because when he published that he had a dream about this river with dead bodies and just blood, and so many people were saying, I had the same dream. And that was shortly before the war started. So we're all connected. And when we talk about archetypes, it is about the collective, because the archetype's hero's journey is not made up by one person. It's originated in so many different parts of the world that were never even in contact. Like I tell this all the time, that if you live in America, if you're living in Africa, you have the same type of story, because how our psyche develops. So if you think about what's happening right now, we're on a hero's journey, and there's that fight. There's that part where you have to step up and do something. And there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be, you know, the battle. You're going to have enemies, you're going to have friends. It's all part of it. So if you think about it, where are we in the movie? Like, you know, I know, like, you're like Marvel, like, where are we with the fight with Thanos? Like, eventually the good wins. That's how stories are. And I believe this is just something that is coming to me right now, is that those stories that came up are made up by humans through intuition, through God. And that is how every single story works, because it's how life works. And to think about when you were a kid and you went to first grade, that was your hero's journey. Like, you came into first grade and you didn't know what to do, but at the end of first grade, through all of the challenges, you were the expert in being first grade. But then it started over again in the second grade and third grade. And then if you look at the whole school, that's also a hero's journey, because you were first grade was also a first step. So it's like within, 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 within. And then like that hero's journey of school is within the hero's journey of your life. And then we have little hero's journeys. But my point is that stories always end with goodness winning. Like, we might lose the battle, but we'll win the war. And I feel like the villains, the people who want to take freedoms, the people who lie, people who cheat, they end up losing. And I know I talked about this before, is that we're this age of Aquarius, we're the Pluto, we're the Saturn. Like, there's so many different things that are in alignment for us to have transformation, for us to get to the other side of oneness, so of usness. Somebody said, don't say oneness, because one means like I'm one here and one here and one here. But it's like usness, isness, it's all that is, right? So I feel like we are going to win. And by we, I mean all of us is humanity, the light. But there might be losses of the battles, and we just have to rest. You know, when you are tired, don't quit, rest. Mm-hmm. And that's what you are doing. And I think it's beautiful that you take time for yourself, and that makes your nervous system calm down. And, you know, I love myself the same way, where I'm like, I've done enough work today for my mental health. I have to take a break. Like, it's so important to just do nothing. And I could push myself and work, but I wouldn't create anything good anyway. I wouldn't be of service anyway. But if I rest, and if I rest, I will be. So I feel self-care, you watching those shows, what I was getting to is you get yourself in that space of, we're going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. We're going to win. Your energy by watching that show changes the energy of the total field of humanity. And if you do it, 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 enough of us do it, we will change that field for the whole community, the whole, you know, the city, the state, the country, the world. Yeah. That's how I look at it. So just taking time for yourself becomes a gift to humanity.
I love that. I think about this all the time, that the light always wins. And I'm always looking for reflections of that belief and really trying to pull that in. I have this feeling that also our job now is to just keep going up, that we can't look at the world bifurcated, you know, black and white, good and evil. It has to be something bigger where we're really focused on the love, the heart center.
Yeah.
What that looks like. You know, as yogis, we focus on the heart center quite a bit. As a massage therapist, I'm always trying to raise the vibration of the folks that I work with. I'm doing a lot of seated chair massage in companies right now, which I really love because for 15 minutes, I get to interact with, you know, 16 people in a 4-hour period. And it's powerful. They all feel better. It's amazing. They sit in the chair. We take a deep breath. And by the time they get up, they've been transformed. And it's always remarkable to me to note how few times during the day we can relax our bodies. 15 minutes will do the trick. And if we could make that a practice, right? Because I'm going into corporations, these beautiful office buildings in downtown DC and other places around the DC region, marveling at what people are doing and what they're tolerating and how they're coping. And with so many people being laid off in this region first before it radiates out, you know, I mean, it's really devastating to see. I can't imagine what May 23rd, 2026 will look like after all of this legislation has put into, you know, is our lives. Healthcare, women's rights, all of it. And that makes me like literally feel nauseous, you know?
Right. But see, then don't go there. That's,
don't go
that's
there.
What I'm saying. Just don't go there. Literally, that's your body telling you that doesn't feel good. And that is just a thought. That reality doesn't exist yet. For all we know, something might happen today or tomorrow that
You're right.
changes the whole shift. And then you wasted your energy. You know, I heard that, the phrase is, worrying is like praying for something you don't want, or like worrying is like sitting on a rocking chair. It's taking a lot of energy, but you're not going anywhere. And I know another one, because I used to be such a worry. Oh my God, as a Jewish person, like that's what you, I think.
Yes, we are bred for it.
well, not even just that, but epigenetically, it's like we as, you know, as the Jewish community has been in the past, kicked out always out of places. So it was always, unsettling. Like I don't think any Jewish person ever feels safe, you know? So, and especially as a woman too, like I don't think we ever feel really safe. So, what was it getting into?
Oh, I felt safe when my friend Kevin took me to the Gay Pride Parade in Palm Springs. It was the most remarkable feeling because I was with Kevin and his husband and all these amazing gentlemen, and they were all dressed up and it was so much fun. They were watching them, you know, just admiring what they were doing. But I could actually feel my body feel safe.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago. It was just a few years ago. And, you know, when I was in my late 50s, and I'm like, it never dawned on me.
Yeah.
Right.
I
think that's pretty amazing.
You know, I went to a gay club for a drag queen show for my first bachelor party when I was first married. And people are like, why? And I'm like, because it's fun and you feel safe. Because no predator man will go to a gay show. And it's just fun. Nobody's hitting on you. Like, you don't have to feel, you know, that you're in danger in some way. And that's why I'm just so shocked. Like, they are allowing little girls get married to whoever. And they're bringing in Andrew Tate and other people who are known to be not so kind to women, nicely put, dangerous to women. And then they're not letting transgender people into military to help protect our country, you know, or in the bathroom. Like every woman who sees another woman feels safe. I mean, unless that woman like looks scary, but we feel safe. We don't get tensed up when women are next to it. So if there's a man dressed as a woman, I don't care, because he took a lot of energy and guts to become a woman. Mm-hmm. Like he is happy to be who he is inside. He doesn't give a crap about me. And I feel safe about that. Like somebody's letting their freak flag fly. You know, we all have freak flags. Every single one of us has something. But when someone does it publicly, it's like, oh my God, they're living their truth. They don't want to take anything from me. It's the predators who are not living the truth because they are not processing their feelings or whatever it is. That can be dangerous. That's how I feel, at least. You know, I'm not trying to like blame anybody or say anything, but I just feel safe around gay people. And gay men and gay pride, like you said, but yeah, we have to relax our bodies and not worry, because as women, we worry a lot. We don't feel safe a lot of times. And, you know, I remember there's one thing, and I think I shared it with you, in some movie, there's a guy, he's getting, like a death sentence, and somebody says, Tom Hanks' character says, aren't you worried? He's like, why, will it help? You know, and that was like, wow, that's true. And then another thing that I said to myself so many times, it was, if it works out, then I just wasted all this energy worrying. And if it doesn't work out, like I could have enjoyed life before something happened, and I just wasted all this energy worrying. Like either way, you lose by worrying. So again, bringing back to yourself, worrying doesn't feel good. So you have to constantly be your own parent and say, honey, darling, what would feel good right now? What will make you feel safe? What will make you feel happy? Focusing on a good outcome, you know, imagining a miracle happening, going, taking care of yourself. Mm. You know, it's super, super important to do this daily. Or like I have to listen to myself every day so that I don't get into the spiral of, oh my gosh, I should have listened to myself. I didn't. Da, 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 da. You know, and we talked about briefly about my client earlier, like how do you set a boundary when somebody asks you to do something? You have to, that's what I say to my clients, is that listen to your, how, you know, to your intuition. Is it contracting? Like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Oh, why am I feeling this way? Or, oh my God, I'm so excited to do this. Because I was actually, not interesting story. I was talking to my student. I have a student that I'm teaching for free. And I offered it to her. I said, I can teach you. Like, I was just excited to teach her for free. And I have joy from that experience, and I don't feel tired. So I was like, I'm going to say yes, because she's a young girl, she's 22, and it felt good. And then if somebody asked me something else that didn't feel good, I would just say, you know, I'm not available for that. Here are the other options. And somebody's just said to me, like, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, you know. And there's also a situation going on for that person. There's actually a lot of people that I know going through similar things where they say, I cannot believe that person is taking advantage of me. And I said, you know, nobody can take advantage of you unless you let it. You literally can say, you know what? I would love to do this. I just don't have the capacity for this, but I have a capacity for this. If this works for you, great. If it doesn't, I just, like, this is all I can offer right now. I love you so much, and this is so what I can offer. So I would say, do that a lot. You know, I do that for myself. If something feels good, I say yes. If something doesn't feel good, I just say no, and I can't.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you don't have to be mean about it. It's just, you cannot drain yourself.
And that is what it is. My friend, Carol Keem is her name, and she's she was the Virginia Principal of the Year at the middle school where she worked for decades, and she helped so many people. And she would always advise me just really simple wisdom. And she would say, you have 10 energy units in a day. How are you going to spend them? Be wise about it. Right. And I think that's true in so many ways, to just care for yourself and know that it's sort of a finite opportunity. I practice something called pranic healing also when I do the massage. It's not like Reiki. Reiki is more channeling energy. Pranic healing is where you move the energy on the ethereal plane. So often, this might be a tip for our listeners and watchers, is you can take the energy and move it up. So, and you can feel where it is, right? So often, if something's stuck, it's stuck in my solar plexus. So I'll take a deep breath and I'll move it. And I'll move it up and out and then burn it. You know, imagine it just like putting fire on it. And then it dissipates and goes off into the universe, or it transmutes into something powerful and beautiful. And looking at the world for me, you know, even though I kind of get stuck down on those, you know, those base chakras, you know, sex, money, power, I try and move the energy as whenever I my wisdom kicks in. And I was having an epiphany when I was brushing my teeth right before our call. And I think really the only solution is to go up, right? Because to your point, there's no sense in worrying about it. It is a waste of energy. I feel like it's more of an awareness. You know, as an entrepreneur, I'm constantly pulling in data points so that I can scan the landscape and know how to position my company and the people that I love so that we are safe, whether, you know, and it tends to work, or it has tended to work in the past. You know, we've had success by me doing that for Incandescent and my clients, et cetera. But now I feel like we all really need to go up, right? Because we can't live down here with this darkness. And it doesn't seem like there's any, you know, that democracy is an experiment that has failed. You know, this bill that they just passed this week.
Well, it hasn't passed the Senate yet.
It hasn't passed the Senate.
Passed the House. We can still call our senators. So if you're listening, please call your senator.
Call your senator.
I think I have a phone number here. Hold on.
Yes.
Call your senator. Hold on. There it is. 202-224-3121.
Say it again. Say one more time.
202-224-3121 to call the senators. But you know what I feel is whatever we do, what we can, and then let go of the rest, because God knows more than we do. We don't know what's happening from the bigger picture. And if we keep trying to be gods and to be CEOs of this world, we are not going to survive. Like, it's just not going to work. So we cannot be just sitting there and allowing things. We have to do what we can, but we can't do what we cannot do. So, you know, posting, sharing, teaching, working on yourself, affecting one person. You know, I went to a concert on Wednesday, and the singer is not allowed to sing in Russian anymore. He's not allowed to have concerts. And he sang a song. He said, this is the song that they got banned for in Russia. It's called Love. It's about love. It's about peace. And he said, he's like, hey, guys, like, there's so many people dying every day, young kids dying every day. Stop this war. We have to work on peace. We cannot let this continue. And he was so brave, and he was just sharing and doing what he can. Like, can he go and drive to the front and fight? Probably, but he's going to die because he's an older man and he's not skilled at that. But what he can do is sing and share and bring the vibe up. So we all have our gifts, and my gift is my voice, my energy, bringing my energy up, helping other people bring their energy up, so then we can do a little bit here, a little bit there. And then eventually something will balance and something will happen, but we cannot push ourselves to do something we cannot do. And we cannot stress about something, worry about something we cannot do.
What is the name of the performer?
Oh, his name is Yuri Shevchuk. He's Russian. Yuri Shevchuk.
Awesome.
And beautiful songs. His band is called DDT, DDT in Russian. And he, there's such a beautiful soul, you know, so much love. Mm-hmm. But we all have a voice. That's the thing that I realized. And you know, I want to share something too. When he was singing, he would go like this and people would sing. And I was like, I don't want to hear people sing. I want to hear him say. And it made me think, like, there are different versions of that I Will Always Love You song, especially when known by Whitney Houston. But the original one was recorded by Dolly Parton, who wrote the song. If you listen to Dolly Parton's song, it's not that great. It's kind of like, I will always love you. Like, it was just kind of like, it was okay. The song is beautiful. The words are beautiful. But the way she sang it, it wasn't as punctual when David Foster took it and he rearranged it for Whitney Houston. And the way she sang it, it was just like, oh my God, right? Because of the voice. And then there's songs that only Dolly Parton can sing. Nobody else can sing. And there's you, you know, you, Hope, and me, and you who's listening, has a voice. We all have a distinctive voice that other people want to hear. It might not be physical voice. It might be voice in something else that you do. But we all have something. And if we focus on that, and that will make us feel good, right? Because we're like, oh my God, I'm doing what I love. And that will help other people. I think that's how we work on helping with love, making difference with love, and we intuitively know what we're good at that brings us joy, that helps other people, makes the world a better place. You know, that at least that's what I'm doing every single day. It's like, and I keep repeating, I'm like, I feel like Alcoholics Anonymous, just for today. Just do this for today, and whatever happens later, just do this for today.
Yeah, no, that's the only way to do it, you know, because everything changes. It always does. You know, where we were in our previous conversations is not exactly where we are today. Yeah. You're engaged now. And so let's end our love session with one of your new passions. So you are not only going to, well, you may change your name, you know.
Let's not talk about that yet. I'm going to change it, and then I'm going to share what it is.
But you're changing your identity on social media in general. Tell us why, what it's going to be, and share a little bit about what the magic is.
So this is really cool, because if anybody's listening who wants to lose weight, I'm going to tell you there's a different way to do it. Then talk about food. So I used to be known as a chef, Alina Z. For many years, I was a private chef for 15 years. Then I decided to change to life chef because I wanted to also bring in life coaching into my already existing practice of being a health coach for 15 years. I was a coach and a chef, more chefing than coaching. At one point, like I started out as a coach, then I did more chefing. But anyway, I realized what happened. I realize that people, when they come to me and they want to lose weight, we talk about food and I tell them what the right food is, and it's still not fixing the problem, because the problem is not the food. A lot of times it's in their soul, and it's hard to fix a problem that's been burning in your soul. But imagine this. If you think of Cinderella, and like to me is the best example, if she would have showed up to the ball in her little apron and in her clogs, she would have not had the same attention from the prince, and she would have not felt as a princess herself unless she changed, right? Even when she was built making her own dress, she felt different when she was wearing the dress. And I realized that there's really an easy way to change your state, and then your state changes how you eat and how you feel and how you act and how you live and how you affect people. Shoes and dresses, shoes and dresses. It changes so much. If you don't think so, read Cinderella again, right? If you change a pair of shoes, I actually did a little video, which I'm going to re-record, but honestly, try this, try different outfits, try one outfit actually with different types of shoes, like sneakers, heels, flip-flops, big black, you know, rebel boots, you'll see how the same outfit changes a vibe and how you change inside. And what I decided to do is bring in more fashion and really get people to understand what their colors are, what their styles are, what their body types are, what their soul types, archetypes, right? How to put it all together as a whole, because if we just go through the food, it's only touching the part of you, and you're so much more than what you eat. But the easiest way to get there, to change your state, is how you eat and how you dress and how you think, right? You take one thought and you change it. You change a pair of shoes and you eat, instead of bagel, you eat an apple. You'll change how you feel. So that's what I'm focusing on right now, is to bring in all three, the style, the food, and the thoughts, not just the food. And I want to finish this again with you don't have to go and buy more shoes. You can go into your closet and be like, these are the shoes that I love, but I hardly wear them because I'm very special. Wear the damn shoes today at home. Just walking around the house. Sometimes I sit on the couch, Hope, and I'm wearing my high heels just to look at them. Just to look at them because they look pretty. I don't have to walk in them. I don't have to be like, oh, they hurt. I'm literally sitting on the couch. And it changes your state. It changes your state. It changes how you feel. And when how you feel changes how you think, and how you think changes how you act, and how you act changes your life. And it can begin with a pair of shoes.
I love that.
And so that's my big thing. And I love doing this. Since I was a little girl, I loved playing with dolls and dressing them up. And, you know, I loved clothes. I loved drawing little outfits. And I feel it's not a superficial thing if it's aligned with your soul, because if inside you, you have this huge passion and this drive, but you're dressed in this, you know, little white t-shirt and jeans, and you don't have any passion, outside of yourself that is expressing your inside, then you'll feel like out of alignment. Then you'll start stuffing your face because you don't feel happy. But if your outside matches your inside, so it's not a superficial, oh, look at me, I'm wearing this expensive thing. No, your outside just matches how you feel inside. You feel whole. And it's so much easier to just put something on, like shoes. You don't have to have an excuse, oh, I gained weight or whatever. Pretty much shoes are going to be, pretty much. They're going to fit, you know? Or even like if you change your jewelry, you know, your earrings, I bet the earrings you wore in high school still fit.
Yeah.
So, but something that changes your outside to match your inside will change how you act, will change your life. It's really, really wild. And finding that alignment is my passion, to help people find who they are from all aspects.
And the big reveal. So you are going from Alina Z Life Chef.
I'm not saying no reveals. I'm gonna reveal it after I change it. After I do it, I'm gonna do it. I'll share. But right now, a Life Chef Alina is changing to something else. But TBD.
All right. Well, that's a beautiful way to end this episode. And we will be back again next Tuesday.
Yes.
And you can watch episode one on. Let's see. What is that? That's the 26th, the 28th, the 27th. On May 27th will be our first episode that goes live, and then they'll go live every Tuesday after that.
And you know what happens, actually? This is absolutely perfect. Do you know what's happening this weekend?
Memorial Day? Tell me more.
No. So I'll tell you and then we'll finish. Okay. So this weekend is the planet Saturn is going into Aries, and there's a new moon, and we have Pluto, I think, in Aries right now. And karma. Karma, karma, karma. If you were doing good things will happen to you. If you were doing bad things will happen to you. So it's a lot of things. It's really good. We're going to start our podcast officially after the new moon. So it's kicking it off. And also with Saturn in Aries, I have Mercury in Aries, which is communication, which is perfect because that's what my gift is. And I am committed to working on my voice physically and emotionally and to helping the world be a better place. So I'm excited for our podcast to be so in alignment with the universe and with karma.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening and watching the question bar with Alina Z, Life Something. We'll hear what
Life Something
and Hope Katz Gibbs from Incandescent. So congratulations to Dr. Peter Noonan for launching his new book, The Secret Sauce. I'm very, very pleased. And you'll be able to buy that up on Amazon very soon. And check out all of our podcasts at incandescentwomen.com and some of the other incandescent channels. So we look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you all. And we will see you next time on The Question Bar.
Yay.
Thank you, Alina.